Good morning, everybody. Like I said, Pastor is on vacation this week, and he has asked me to fill in all day today, so I was able to preach Sunday school this morning, and then I'm now going to preach this morning's service, and then I'll preach again tonight. It's very important for me to communicate this to you, and that is tonight is going to be part two of this sermon. You're like, what? No, I'm not going to leave anything out for this morning. You're going to get the whole shebang. But there is what you want to call a second principle that he addresses in this passage that's very, very important. It would be the next step of spiritual growth from the first step. And so that will be tonight's message. I want everybody to understand that, and I want to encourage you, if you can at all possible, if you can be here at all, please, please, please come back tonight for that part. This morning, if you could, grab your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, it's going to be the beginning of the New Testament. It's going to go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then turn to chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1, we're going to read till verse 13, but this morning's lesson, sermon, message will only be verses 1 through 4. Tonight's will be 5 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. If you're ready, raise your hand. Okay, so am I. Let's read. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, talking about Jesus, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto the disciples, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So this morning, verses 1 through 4, tonight, verses 5 through 13. This morning is sermons titled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do ask you to please bless this sermon this morning, Lord. I know Pastor's praying for the message and for the church services. He already let me know that. And God, I just ask you to please, 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 speak to the hearts and the lives of your church. Lord, we need to learn how to pray. Or we need to be reminded on how to pray. Something that we can easily forget, easily put off, skip over sometimes, Lord. And I just do ask you to help our church to learn how to pray even better than we already do. We love you so much. Thank you for all you've done in our lives. In your name we ask these things. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. How many here would say that prayer is actually a very important thing in the Christian life? I would definitely have to say that. Prayer is our ability to communicate with the Most High Being. It's God's given us an ability to talk to Him. Amen. And as the disciples saw day after day, night after night, morning after morning, of Jesus going off and praying, Jesus going up to a mountain and praying, Jesus trying to go by Himself and pray, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this man knew how to pray. They saw Him say little prayers and blind receive sight. They saw Him say little prayers and the lame begin to walk. They saw Him say little prayers and little groups of fishes and bread multiplied. They saw Him pray for hours. They saw Him praying the night He got taken away to be crucified. There's no doubt in my mind that the Lord Jesus Christ had a life of prayer. And they knew that. Which is why, who better to teach me to pray than Jesus Christ? And that's what they did. After the moment of Him praying one day, they pull Him off to the side in verse 1. And it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He had ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Let me tell you this, they found the right person to teach them. Now listen to me, I have little auto mechanic abilities. I know how to change oil, I can change some brakes. When it comes to the big stuff, I have no idea. Do you know who the last person I need to go ask this to? And this isn't degrading this person at all, but it'd be my wife. Because she doesn't know any more than I do. And it's very, very important when we have a need or we want to learn something, we go to the proper person to teach auto mechanics. Is anybody in here a mechanic? Anybody? No, not today. We do have some in the church. And those would be the guys I would go to. I first go to my father-in-law because I go to him for everything. And he says that he doesn't know what to do, but he really does. Or if he doesn't know how to do it, him and I will sit down and we'll go through YouTube videos and we'll go through manuals and we're like, okay, I think we can do this. And usually it turns out great. You know, sometimes we could have a little hiccup, a little bump in the road, but things go out really smoothly. But if he was stumped, I'd be going to somebody else, a professional. So if that's logic when it comes to mechanics, why isn't it logical to go to Christ to learn how to pray? And guess what? These few sentences that he says are so often overlooked, it's really sad. You hear or you see the Lord's Prayer at funeral homes, at hospitals. We could mostly hear quote it. But what does it really mean? And that's what we're going to take time this morning to dive into. It's not going to be deep at all. It's just what we're going to do is we're going to take some time to think about it. Because that's really what sometimes the hiccup is. It's not that we don't understand it. It's just that we haven't taken time to think through it completely. And that's just really what we're going to do this morning is we're going to think through the Lord's Prayer. But I encourage you this, and that is, you will learn something. I promise you. Do you know why? Because I learned something just by going over it again. And this is probably the fourth time that I've gone over it in my life. And it's like, ah, I forgot that. Or, ah, I knew that before, and I knew that, you know, and it's a reminder. So they did go to the right person, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what does Jesus say? Verse 2. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Those are the first few words that Jesus wants them to teach them, and that is, our Father, which art in heaven. To appreciate this, though, we have to understand something, and that is, till this point, no believer called the Creator God Father. To this point in life, all throughout the Old Testament, John the Baptist, no believer called God Father. And when Jesus told them to call God Father, it was almost like a, well, he's your Father. Jesus, you're the Son of God. Why should we say our Father which art in heaven? And that's just so that we understand something, that when Jesus died on the cross, we became part of a new family. We were born again into a new family. We got a new brother, Jesus. We got a new heavenly Father, God. See, up to this point, Jesus had not yet died on the cross. So that's why it didn't click with them as well as it might have. But the moment that they realize what the crucifixion of Jesus did for them is the moment that's one of the moments that they're like, wow. Not only did Jesus Christ die on the cross so that I could have my sins forgiven, but he died on the cross so that God and my relationship could be yoked. God and my relationship could be renewed, restored. Because at this point, sin separated them from God. And they had now the opportunity to, like I said, and I don't want to repeat myself over and over, but to have God as their Father. The knowledge of God's Father love is the first and simplest, but also the last and highest lesson in this school of prayer. It is the personal relationship to the living God and the personal fellowship with this loving God that prayer begins. What am I trying to say here? I'm saying Jesus wants us to understand that when we understand the loving Father relationship to a child, his children, that's where prayer begins. It is the soil, this knowledge of the Father-Son relationship, this loving Father-Son relationship, that knowledge is the soil of which the power of prayer can be found. Listen to me. When you say, Dear Heavenly Father, when you pray, that's a big deal. Because the Creator of all things, the most high, powerful, almighty one, has now become your Father. This is hard to understand if you don't have an earthly father to look to compare to. And it's sad to say in today's society that that's more common than not, that the father relationship is not there. And that's the first thing that Satan attacks, is that father-child relationship in the home. If he can get the father out of the picture, he has a free path straight towards the family. And God wants us to understand that the father relationship to the child is full of love. And you're like, well, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I know that. But what is love? Love isn't just giving them everything they want. It's giving them everything they need. Do you understand that? So now the Heavenly Father has the ability to give every new believer, child of God, everything that they need. Not that they want, that they need. And who knows what a child needs more than their parents? So, our Father which art in heaven. Is God your Father? Have you been saved? Have you repented of your sins? Have you seen yourself the way the Father sees you? And submitted yourself and repented, saying, God, I have sinned against you, and I believe that your Son took my place and died on the cross for me so that I didn't have to. Repentance and believing. He goes on to say this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. When you think of fatherhood, when you think of the Father, the first thing we think of is love. Rightfully so. A father should always show love and be the epitome of love in his family. He should be the one whom demonstrates love the most. Did you know that? Some say, well, the mom's supposed to demonstrate love the most. I have a question for you. What's the commandment to the husband, to the wife? To love her. Am I right? So God focuses more on the husband / the father to love than he does the mother. Just saying. So the father should be the prime example of love in the home. But also, Jesus doesn't want the disciples to so focus on love that they forget how holy his name is. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. Separated be thy name. Set apart be thy name. From what? Well, from everything that's ever been created. See, God is way up here compared to everything that's been created that's way down here. I like to think this, and I'll say this over and over again. God is more separated from us in his attributes and in his character than we are from the Legos that we build with our children. You're like, well, that's a big jump between Legos and an actual human being. Yes, it is. And there's more of a jump between a human being and the God creator of this world. But more than just his creation is he separated, it's what his creation has become that he's separated from. The sin-cursed earth, the selfishness, the hate, the murdering, the adultery and the immorality, he is separated from it all. And with the fall of man, this gap has become even greater. God is good. God is light. Everything that he ever does is light. Everything that he ever does is good. There is no darkness in him at all. So if anything ever happens that you understand and that you believe it is darkness, that just shows you how much you don't understand about God. And how much of a gap there is between you and your understanding of God. Listen, God's name is to be holy. It is to be hallowed. And woe unto us if we ever try to take holiness and love and separate them to where they're not this, that God's either one or the other. Listen, our holy God demonstrates the perfect love. And if you ever think that he does not love you, it's because you don't understand him. God is both holy and love, and he is our Father who wants our good. Remember, God doesn't give us what we want. A father doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And sometimes, listen, oft not times, the hard things that we go through life are either because of what we've done or because of what our loved ones or the people around us have done. Listen, God gives us a free choice. And our free choices have consequences, good or bad. And if the bad consequences pop up because we did something bad, then that's our free choice. It's not God's fault. The same thing with our family. We have got to realize that our actions affect everyone around us and that our family's actions affect me. And it's not God's fault if they decided to go down the wrong path. It's just that their decisions are now reaping consequences that are now affecting me. And God never wanted that to happen. And so we got to realize that that just because bad things are happening to us doesn't mean it's God's fault. God's given everybody a free choice. He is loving and he is still holy. Next thing, verse 2. Not only is our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be the name, he wants us to pray this. Remember, this is all prayer. We're supposed to be praying this to God. We're supposed to be referencing him as Father. We're supposed to be talking about how holy he is when we pray. And then we go on and say this, thy kingdom come. As we pray, we need to request for God's kingdom to come. Listen, our God is not just the Creator, the Most High One. He is a King. He is a King. Amen. Do you know what that means? That means He's in charge. And He has a kingdom. The son and heir of a king has no higher ambition than the glory of his Father's kingdom. We are now sons of God, right? And Jesus is also the Son of God. And a son has no higher ambition than the glory of his Father's kingdom. In time of war or danger, this becomes his passion. He can think of nothing else. The children of the Father are here in the enemy's territory where the kingdom, the kingdom is in heaven. It is not yet fully manifested here on earth, his kingdom. So what more natural than that when they learn to hallow the Father's name that they should long and cry with a deep enthusiasm, thy kingdom come. What I'm saying is once we realize who God is, how separated he is, how good he is, and how bad this world is, wouldn't we naturally cry out for God's kingdom to come? I'm sorry, the longer I live, the more reality check I get, I guess you would say, the more in touch with reality that I am, and the more things don't seem as good as they used to be. And the more I see people hurting. And the more I get frustrated and angry, and it yearns within me a cry to say, God, come now. Amen. And as you're praying, that should be part of your prayer. God, come. God, come. Come quickly. God will teach us this. He's teaching his disciples this. Disciples, when you pray, call God your Father. Disciples, when you pray, reference the holiness of God. Talk to him about how holy he is. Do you know what that's called? It's called worship. And then when you're praying, request for the kingdom to come. It's not some crazy thing. Listen, there will become a time when God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And that will be his kingdom. And he will rule and reign forever. That's what I want to come. And I want it to come quickly. Verse 2. After thy kingdom come, he says, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. In heaven, God's will is done. Every day, every minute, every second, the will of God is being done. And the master teaches the child to ask that the will may be done on earth just as it is in heaven. In a spirit of submission and readiness to obey. God's will can be made known here on earth by the proclamation of his word and through the lives of his children. And wherever faith has accepted the Father's love, a person getting saved, obedience accepts the Father's will. The surrender to and the prayer for a life of heaven like obedience is a spirit of childlike prayer. Listen, I know we are thankful for God's love, but do we love him back? And what I mean by that is God said that if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Listen, God wants us to do two things. He wants us to live His will, and He wants us to proclaim His will. And if we don't do those two things, then we aren't saying, "Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." You guys will all be quick to say this. Some churches will get up and preach and preach and preach, and then when they walk out the door, they live the complete opposite, and we call them hypocrites. And it turns people off to church. People don't want to go to church because of that. And I beg you today to, when you hear, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," or "as in heaven as it is so in earth," that we remind ourselves, yes, that's me. I need to be doing God's will, whatever it is. Because God's word tells us what we're supposed to be doing down here. We're supposed to show the exact same type of love that Jesus did. We're supposed to be showing the exact same forgiveness that Jesus did. We're supposed to be showing the exact same urgency to teach people about salvation that Jesus did, and to proclaim that He died on the cross for them. And sometimes we can get, and myself definitely, can get so wrapped up in waking up, you know, doing your quick Bible read, hopping in the car, driving to work, working for 10 hours, running home, scarfing down some dinner, play with the children, get them to bed, brush your teeth, get their jammies on, get them to bed, and then, okay, well, it's Monday night, and I have to teach on Wednesday, so I can either do that, or I could just relax finally, because I've been up for 14 hours already. And the next thing you know, your week is gone, and you've not cared about anybody, really, besides your process that you go through week after week after week. So "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Make an impact on people is the will of God. While we ordinarily, this is common for us all, especially myself, when we normally pray, we first bring our own needs to God in prayer and then think of what belongs to God and His interest. Jesus, the mastery versus the order. First, it's "Thy name, Thy kingdom, Thy will." Then, part two, "Give us, lead us, deliver us." The lesson is more important than we think. In true worship and in true prayer, the Father must be first, must be all. I need to have my priorities straight when I pray. I need to make sure that I know who I'm praying to. The Creator of all, the King of Kings, my new Father, the Holy One. So let's not forget that. Let's go into verse 3. "Give us day by day our daily bread." Give us day by day our daily bread. When first the child has yielded himself to the Father in the care of His name and for His kingdom and for His will, this child can fully and selflessly ask for his daily bread. Did you know that? When a Christian who has first focused on God's name and God's will, and God's character, when he can focus on that first, then he can selflessly ask for his needs to be met. We may indeed, in full confidence, say, "Father, I'm going to live for You. I want to honor You. I'm going to work for You. I know You love me. I know You care for me. Please provide my needs. Please provide my needs to do this. You know, I need food to survive. I need shelter from the snow to survive. Please provide this for me. I need a job to provide for my family. Because You said that a man is worse than an unsaved man if he doesn't provide for his family. So, Lord, I need a job to provide for my family's needs." So, yes, God, pray for Him to meet your needs. Ask Him to give you day by day your bread. Because He cares about it. He wants to give it to you. We go into the next, you know, whatever verses, and he says, if a father here on earth is going to give his son a fish when he asks for a fish and bread when he asks for bread, how much more do you think I'm going to give you? So I just want to make sure that that's cleared up, that God, he's not selfish, and he loves continually, unconditionally, and will gladly meet our needs. Next verse, verse 4, and forgive us our sins. And this is a little worded a little different. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. There's multiple versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Bible because multiple different authors record the Lord's Prayer. The way that it, when God spoke it, they weren't let me remind everybody, when the disciples were with Jesus, they didn't have notepads and jotting down everything every time he said something. No, sometimes it was years down the road that they were jotting down memories. So they're not going to be exactly word for word identical. So this is Luke's I don't even know how you call that, but his reflection on the Lord's Prayer. And he says, and lead us not into temptation. I'm sorry. Let me know back. He said, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Listen to this. This is very important, very powerful. As bread is the first need of the body, forgiveness is the first need of the soul. So Jesus is teaching us to not only ask God for our physical needs, but now start asking God for our spiritual needs. And we need forgiveness. Because if we never got forgiveness, how much weight would we be carrying around day after day? I know I have a ton of weight that I would be carrying around every day. But without someone who is willing to forgive me, without knowing that I am forgiven, I would be depressed beyond despair. But because God has forgiven me, and he will forgive me, and then other people forgive me, I can be relaxed. It's like I'm a lot lighter. We are children, but sinners too. Our right to access the Father's presence we owe to the precious blood and the forgiveness it has won for us. But beware of the prayer for forgiveness becoming a formality. Only what is really confessed is really forgiven. See, when our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. If it's just a formality, it's not real. And so real confession concludes in real forgiveness. Only what is spiritual reality and actual transactions between God and us, it is the entrance into all the Father's love and all the privileges of children. Such forgiveness becomes impossible without a forgiving spirit toward others. How can one accept the love and forgiveness of God but not give and show it here on this world? In each prayer to the Father, I must be able to say that I know of no one whom I do not love and I have not forgiven. That is the heart behind this when he says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Listen, all of us have sinned. Some of us have done certain sins and others of us have not done other sins. But listen to me, God forgives every single one of them. And I'm very thankful for that. And if we think that it's okay for God to forgive us, but for us not to forgive anybody else, or it's okay for God to love us, but not to love, and for us not to love anybody else, that's a big misunderstanding that we have got to get rid of, because the truth of the matter is this, is how can you go to God in prayer and say, God, please forgive me of X, Y, Z, when you have people whom you are not loving and you have not forgiven? You're like, well, you don't understand what they've done to me. I don't. I might not. But God does. Jesus does. I mean, who was he betrayed by? Who was he forsaken by? By all men. And day after day in my life, own life, I reject things that he tells me to do. And so if I'm going to sin against God and not live the life that I'm supposed to have and not listen to him, then how can I, but then he forgives me, how can I not do the same for someone else? You're like, well, they've already done that to me 3 times. Yes, and what sins have you committed to God over 3 times? Well, you don't understand, they betrayed me, yes? God's been betrayed. Has there been any areas in my life that I've betrayed God? But he still loves me, he still forgives me. So when we go to God in prayer, there should be no one we don't love and no one we haven't forgiven. And I'm not saying it's easy. But a person who is saved can be so indwelled by the loving Spirit of God and the forgiving Spirit of God that he can come to a point in his life where he can forgive. It's not going to be an overnight thing, trust me. We all have sob stories, and I'm not at all going to dive into any personal things because that's not the point of this message, and we're running out of time. But listen to us. We all here have either a parent who has betrayed us or a brother who has betrayed us or a close friend who has betrayed us. And if not, you might have a child that will soon betray you. You might have a spouse that will soon betray you. I don't know. But listen to me. God can give you the love and the forgiveness to give them. And I know it hurts, and I know it will take time, but it will be exactly the next step of what you need to be. And when that is over with, your shoulders will be lighter. Your shoulders will be lighter. Verse 4, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our daily needs, their forgiveness of our sins, and then the power to live a holy life and to overcome sin's temptation. And these three petitions, all of our personal needs are addressed. Did you hear that? Our daily needs, the ability to forgive others and God forgiving our sins, and then the power to live a holy life and to overcome sin's temptations. And these three petitions, all of our personal needs are addressed. The prayer for bread and the prayer for forgiveness must be accompanied by the prayer for surrender to a life of obedience to the Father's will. A prayer for power over sin. Prayer for power over addiction. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen to me. The Christian has the ability to live a life that mirrors the image of Jesus. Does that say that we're not going to sin? No, I just said we're going to sin and we have forgiveness. But I promise you this, that you're supposed to be growing, developing, maturing, just like your children is when they're born all the way to their adults, just like the child of God from when he first gets saved until he dies. He's constantly supposed to be developing and changing into the image of Jesus Christ. Some of us have a lot more work than others to do that. And God knows, and God can easily mold that man into the image of him. But it's our ability and our desire to surrender ourselves to that process is where he's focusing on. Listen, God has the power to deliver us from any addiction that we have here tonight. God has the power to deliver us from any sin that constantly is ruining our relationships with other people, ruining our relationship with him. He has the power for us to overcome that. And it's supposed to be, though, our will, our desire for him to do that. And too often in our lives, we see what we have to do and we're not willing to do it because it's too hard. Where God wants us to submit to that process so that we can get that addiction, that sin, so we can overcome that. So, and lead us not to temptation, but to deliver us from evil. So prayer will lead us to the true life of a child, where the father and the child relationship will be pure. The father will be all to the child, the father all for the child all for the father, and the child all to the father. That's the type of relationship that prayer will create between God and us. We'll be all his and he will be all ours. And it will bring us to this conclusion. And this isn't part of this passage, but do you remember this part of the Lord's Prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we get that thoughts of prayer in our brain the way they're supposed to be in there, then that will be our conclusion. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the glory. It's all being done for your glory. Amen. So I have a question. Don't you want a relationship with God? Don't you want a father relationship with God? Father-child relationship with God? I really do. So today, begin to study this. Today, begin to practice this. Today, begin to submit yourself to the Father. Submit to his teachings. And then you can say, Lord, teach me to pray, and you will develop and grow and become the next step of your Christian walk that you're supposed to be. And then you would be amazed at how happier you are, how more joyful you are, because guess what? I have a relationship with God through my prayer life. Teenagers, I say this over and over, do you have a relationship with God? That's what I mean. You talk to your father. He talks to you. You do his will. He provides for you. You see God's hand every step of every day, and you realize how undeserving you are, but how great he is. And you love him more and more and more every day. And so that's what a relationship with God is. That's not, oh, I say the Lord's Prayer, and I read my passages of Scripture today. Nope. That's hypocritical. That's a waste of time. What's not a waste of time is when you pray purely, when you read your Bible with a selfless motive. That's not a waste of time. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Here he has. Jesus Christ has taken the time to record in Scripture how we are to pray to him. Now it's our job, our responsibility to pray that way. Tonight, though, we will talk about what else we can do when we pray. What's the second purpose behind prayer? Besides our own benefit, what's another reason why we should be praying? So that's tonight's message. That's the next 8 verses, is Jesus teaching the disciples, hey, besides your benefit of a father-son relationship, there's one more thing that prayer will do. And it will change the lives of all those around you. So let's pray, and we'll start our invitation. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. God, I just do ask you to allow me to take the time to think about this even more, about how holy you are, how much you love me, how much you care about your will down here on earth, and how much you care about my needs, and how much you want me to overcome sin and serve you and impact others around me much more than I am already, much more than I have already, Lord. Now please, Lord, just bless your invitation. God, allow people whom you have spoken to just come down and pray. That's all an invitation is just the opportunity for us to pray and talk to you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness and ask for your help, Lord. And God, I just ask you to allow my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to do that, Lord. Now, please, 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 allow your words not to be undone. Allow them not to be forgotten. Thank you so much for all you've done. In your name we ask these things. Amen. Brother Rick, what page number?
394.
394. So right now we're just going to have a little invitation of time of prayer. While Brother Rick sings page 394, if you feel that the Lord is calling you to pray, feel free to come down and pray. If you need me to pray with you, I'll gladly pray with you. But if you don't feel the need to pray and you just want to sing a little bit, then page 394 is a song that we will be singing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thank you so much for coming out this morning. One more quick announcement before we leave. The church has been collecting money for pastor's Christmas present, and I wanted to take an offering tonight, but the offering plates are now in the back room. And so who's heading up that? Can you raise your hand? Yes, really high, really high. Okay, so she's heading that up. We're just trying to collect money for pastor's Christmas present that we're giving to him this Friday at the banquet. And so if you have not yet given to that, or you feel free to give to that some more, just find her and then we will be able to get that out and get him the best present that we can provide. So if that's all tonight, I'm going to have Brother Bill Nelson Jr., if you could close us in prayer, and then everybody is dismissed.